Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year to everybody. Except Happy Chicago New sports Year. Fans.
Happy New Year.
Welcome in. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Hope your New Year is was safe. Maybe you're waking and baking now. You're doing some New Year's WB Club. It's good. Maybe you close the year with that. Well done. Broadcasting live today, January 1st, 2025. From the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit the BetQL.com site. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Score's text line. Now, we used to do faxes at this radio station. Now we do texts. We always take phone calls. I'm going to ask you later in the show to prepare your phone calls, because it's a segment you've heard before. You'll want to hear again. It's an oldie, but a goodie. But for now, Happy New Year, everybody except Bears fans. Because there's nothing new about it. It's the same old, I guess I'll have to say, stuff, won't I? We do not want to jeopardize the Score's license. The same old, comically stupid management, ownership, and player failings at the most important position in sports. You know who we thought would be in the playoffs? The Bears. Even without Jim Harbaugh coaching here the way he should have been. You know who's actually in the playoffs? The Chargers, with Jim Harbaugh coaching there the way we knew he could. The Chargers destroyed New England 40-7 in Foxborough. That clinched playoff spot. That's Jim Harbaugh's Chargers. The Jim Harbaugh who coached a miraculous turnaround. The Jim Harbaugh the Bears refused to talk to because, by God, they had the legendary Matt Eberflus on the sideline coming off three blown double-digit leads in the fourth quarter.
You mean Matt Eberchoke?
Yeah.
Or Eberfraud?
I don't know if it was the inept Ryan Poles or the inert Kevin Warren who refused to approach Harbaugh. I don't know who was the guy who refused to bring in the guy with the credentials to run this franchise right. But whoever that person is, or people are, they should be fired. And if it was George McCaskey, then fire him too, and bring in the next member of the Lucky Sperm Club to be the chairman. The Bears had the chance to pay big for a big-time coach with ties to the organization. They love their Bears history. Something Poles likes to say about his draft choices, something George McCaskey loves. He loves his Bear history. He obsesses over it. He obsesses over his Bears history more than his utter lack of institutional knowledge of how teams win in this league. The Bears had the chance to get that guy in Halas Hall, and they refused to go to that neighborhood. Chargers safety Derwin James said, "He's that guy. I'm just trying to continue to give everything I got for him because, man, there's nobody like him." Did we ever hear any player say that about Matt Eberflus? Refresh my memory. No, I think we saw Bears players turn on the great Matt Eberflus because he made comically stupid decisions and then refused to own them. The Bears needed a "there's nobody like him" guy. Because all they've done since Ditka is hire a "there's everybody like him" guy. I mean, just look. Wani, Drawn, Lovey, Tressman, Fox, Nagy, Eberflus, whatever's left of Thomas Brown in his career. The same benign personality. Some could coach, some never should have been let in the door. But nobody with a big personality. Nobody who can galvanize a building. Kevin Warren's ego makes everybody believe he couldn't stand a bigger name and a bigger personality in the hallways. Especially someone from a Big Ten school. But the cowardly Bears do the wrong things. They do it all the time. Last year would have been the time to dump Eberflus and come into the season with a new professional coach with skins on the wall to coach the new quarterback, who now appears to be dead, and the Bears can only pray his career isn't over from the mental and emotional, especially physical beating he has taken as a result of the pathetic front office decisions refusing to make the offensive line a priority. They kept Eberflus, and in a franchise first, they fired the same guy in midseason and then replaced him with someone worse, which nobody saw coming, including a bunch of irresponsible and unprofessional players. Remember, Cole Kmet said he saw signs of players in it for themselves as Thomas Brown's career was dying on the operating table. Game after game after game. Guess what? No damn way anybody playing for Harbaugh does that. But the Bears organization, the one that refused to suspend Tyreek Stevenson for a comically stupid act leading to a comically stupid ending and sending mentally and emotionally soft players into a comically stupid losing streak that is still going, laughingly, at 10, and figures to be extended Sunday against the evil, dreaded Packers. If this were Spinal Tap, there would be someone saying, "Our losing streaks go to 11. The Bears organization is soft mentally and emotionally and professionally. Soft and stupid, and George McCaskey's love of Bears history is filled with it. The Bears need what they refuse to bring in. They need that dominant personality that is clearly a leader of men, which I think is a dumbass phrase. The Bears are associated with it. I think it's going to become the next era's version of collaboration. Orion Pace and Matt Nagy collaborated, and where did that get you? A loss of draft capital, a loss of jobs, the fake belief that Justin Fields could be a quarterback in this league. Collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. all with the beige coaches. And by the way, this is what's so great. This string of beige coaches was foretold more than 30 years ago after Ditka was fired. Ditka is the last big personality to coach the Bears because he was Ditka, and the McCaskies ran away from him. No more of that. No more potty mouth. No more big personality. Mike Royko foretold what we were going to see, what we have seen for the past three decades. This from the January 6, 1993 edition of what used to be the Chicago Tribune. Royko wrote about his disappointment in the tears Ditka shed after being fired by Michael McCaskey. Quote, what should he have said? Let's give it a try. I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is I've just been fired by this weenie. The good news is that I don't have to work for this weenie anymore. You have just heard the weenie say he wants to make a fresh start with fresh ideas. That from a Yale bookkeeper who knows as much about football as I know about ballet. Royko goes on, I'll tell you why I was fired. It's very simple. He is an Ivy League stiff, and I am not an Ivy League stiff. He does not drink, swear, or raise his squeaky voice in anger. I drink, swear, and sometimes bellow like a crazed bull, especially when people throw dumb interceptions. So he wants to hire a coach who will stand on the sidelines like someone perusing paintings at the Art Institute. Hey, that's a war out there, not a cricket match. End Royko. Royko nailed it. Wani, Giron, Lovey, Trestman, Fox, Nagy, Eberflus, all at home in the Art Institute or as a librarian, someplace where benign personalities can be benign, just like the McCaskies. The Bears from ownership on down are soft. They aren't up for this war. They haven't been since Ditka was whacked and won't be until they get new owners, new team president, and that's for starters. Funny aside, though, in Royko writing what Ditka should have said, I drink, I swear, sometimes bellow like a crazed bull, especially when people throw dumb interceptions. The best-known dumb interception was thrown by Harbaugh in the Metrodome after an audible when Ditka told him no audibles. It was famous, and it was necessary. The rant, the yelling, not the interception. And it didn't seem to hurt Harbaugh's career. Captain Comeback in Indianapolis. He goes to the playoffs a lot. The Bears wouldn't know about that. He goes to the NFC Championship games a lot. The Bears wouldn't know about that. He goes to the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, the Harbaugh-less Bears, they're fighting Aaron Rodgers' Jets for the greatest national laughingstock in the NFL. Hey, George, the Bears might finally beat Rodgers at something after he owned your team all these years. Congrats, George. Good job all the way around. Whoever passed on Harbaugh, whoever said don't go near him, should be dumped immediately. You're looking for a new coach. You have no idea what it looks like when it's out there, when it's a former Bear. A choke of epic proportions. The Bears didn't even play last weekend, and yet they found a way to descend to another level of comically stupid. Jim Harbaugh engineers a miracle turnaround with the Chargers, the same kind of miracle turnaround we expected here with Caleb Williams. Bears don't have anybody who can coach Caleb Williams. They don't have anybody who can block for him. That's your franchise quarterback. That's your franchise quarterback in a coffin. Congrats, George. Good job, everyone. Take the postseason off. Happy New Year, Bears fans. Same as every other year, Bears fans. There's your morning rant. Happy New Year. It's comically stupid. I needed to say that. I needed to get off my chest. It's exponential. The comically stupid ownership, team presidency, and the neutered GM, the GM neutered by the team president. Let's stay away from a guy who wins, because who'd want to do that in the NFL? You know who wins in the NFL a lot? The Packers. We're going to talk to Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers. Used to be here with the Bears. We'll talk to him about the Packers, what they have to play for Sunday when they host the Bears, and it would appear to be ripe for a vivisection. I'm going to ask him what it's like to, I want him to compare what a coach gets, what a coach wins when he wins a Super Bowl in Green Bay, compared to what happens in Chicago. We've seen what happens. There's one coach who's won a Super Bowl in Chicago. And he's the guy the Bears don't want to replicate. They don't want to go near that personality profile. They don't want anybody big, bold, who might have a potty mouth. You know, a potty mouth like George Halas. George, your grandfather had a potty mouth. He seemed to win a lot, too. That's all the history you love. That's at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to Wayne Larrivee. At 8:45... Tom Scheer will join me. An oldie, but a goldie, like me. A blasto from a pasto. The Scorer's birthday is tomorrow. Tom was the first person on the air with the Score. That and more when I visit with Tom Scheer at 8:45. 9:40, Pete Futak, publisher of collegefootballnews.com. The quarterfinals continue. Couple of games look like it should be semifinals, if not championship games. See what Pete thinks about that. 10 o'clock, Patrick Finley covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. Patrick Finley wrote, Caleb Williams is probably going to play Sunday against the Packers, but should he? It's like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. Scientists all the time asking whether they could. Never thought whether they should. So, we have a chance to see Caleb Williams get a broken rib, maybe sustain an Achilles injury. Congratulations, Bears. And after that, we're going to revive a very special segment in Score history because tomorrow is the 33rd birthday, as I said. So, get your craps ready. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I got some thoughts on the new coach, whoever he is. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Happy New Year to you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I don't think you're giving us our due credit. Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Happy New Year, guys.
Ryan Poles. No, Ryan Pace. He will be having a happy new year. The Atlanta Falcons are doing things. Their rookie quarterback is doing really good things. Brian Pace is in that personnel department. I don't know who said what about what. But that whole idea of finally taking a quarterback every year is something the Falcons did. Ryan Pace is there. The Bears took one this year. Maybe you saw, maybe you didn't. We haven't seen that quarterback. We've seen him very infrequently. We have seen instances in the fourth quarter where you go, oh, yeah, that's why. And then the coaches go, no, we're not going to let that happen. There's going to be a new coach. Won't be Thomas Brown. Just let me, there's your headline. Won't be Thomas Brown. His teams have been so bad, I don't think he's allowed to watch football next year at all. To be a new coach. We've heard the names. You know, Ben Johnson foremost. Mike Vrabel. By the way, Mike Vrabel lost 18 of his last 24 games in Tennessee. He went 6-18 at the end of his time in Tennessee. Before that, he went to the playoffs 3 years in a row. The Bears have not done that since Ditka. The kind of coach they want to stay away from. And Dick is a perfect touchstone for all that is happening with the Bears or has not happened. Ben Johnson's name, first and foremost, he seems to be, he's the catch. He's the, why can't I think of it now? What was the game they played in? Quidditch. Yeah. He's that flying gold thing in Quidditch. And then Vrabel's name came up. Ron Rivera, Chico, former Bear, interviewing with the Jets. Pete Carroll said, yeah, I'd be interested. Well, somebody said on Pete Carroll's behalf he'd be interested. And other name, Cliff Kingsbury. Hi, you're not good enough to be our offensive coordinator, but want to be our head coach? I mean, this is comically stupid, squared. It's exponential, whatever it is. Why would you come here? Caleb Williams might not make it to next season. I got news for you. That's a legit, and it's not just the number of times being sacked. He's due to be sacked and hurt. He's going to start 17 games. Unless they handle it like a preseason game, we're like, all right, you had your two series, get out. But it is the evil dreaded Packers, and that always means more up in Halas Hall. But you're risking a guy getting hurt in a year where you're in the top 10 draft picks. And he's supposedly your franchise quarterback. Good luck with that. So why would you, and I discussed in the last segment how slipshod and ham-handed and institutionally stupid regarding the NFL the Bears are from ownership on down. Why would you want to come here and coach? Well, there's a simple reason. There are other reasons, but the simplest is if you do this, you get all the credit. Kevin Warren will try to seize all of it, him and his ego and his his ego like a gas that fills all corners of every room. And Ryan Poles will be given some credit because somebody is presuming he builds an offensive line. But if you're the new coach, you get all the credit. You get the full Ditka. Probably get a restaurant. Can. Ben Johnson's Roundup. Right? What would Ben Johnson's restaurant be called, Tyler Farrengel? What will we do? Ben? Big Ben's?
Ben's Den?
Ben's Den. Okay, there we go. The McCaskies are a mess. Kevin Warren's out of his element, but his ego is everywhere. Now he's trying to do Ryan Poles' job before he's done his job. And Ryan Poles then really has no job but to, as Kevin Warren says, be the point man on the coaching search, which is a neutering of Ryan Poles because the GM is always the guy doing the coaching search. All of that would tell the potential coach, be wary. Why, you know, watch out. You don't know who's in charge, and you don't trust any of them to be smart enough to align with you, to be your partner. So stay away. But let's hear that. Let's say you're that coach. Jim Harbaugh went into San Diego and said, you know what? Keenan Allen's great. Hall of Famer. Might cost too much money. I don't need wide receivers as much as I need an offensive line. Someone needed to tell Ryan Poles that, a former offensive lineman. Apparently it wasn't Ian Cunningham, also a former offensive lineman. Ryan Poles looked at the offensive line this year and said, this is the best depth we've had. Oh, yeah? Your quarterback's about to set a record for getting sacked. How you fixed for that? If you force Ryan Poles to make an offensive line, then you, Mr. New Coach, you get all the credit. You're the Harry Potter of Halas Hall. You're in for the riches and the accolades of Ditka, my friend. It's a disaster. It's filled with exponential stupidity up there. But you, Mr. New Coach, your name here, you get to own everything good. You get all the credit. If you can coach, then coach. If you can't coach, hell, they could have kept Eberflus, not paid off the whole waste of space that he is. The Bears are the best opportunity for a guy looking to, well, the best opportunity because it's a football intelligence desert. And you, Mr. New Coach, you get to be football Moses. It's the most attractive opening because winning in, say, I don't know, Miami, Cleveland? Well, they don't win in Cleveland. We don't know. Miami won. Don Shula got a steakhouse. He also had a place at an airport. I left Miami airport and there was Don Shula's fast food joint. Burger joint. Okay. Well, in Chicago, the restaurant is just the start of it. I mean, we had Bulls backup centers get McDonald's sandwiches named after him. And he's on his very radio station. He's Bill Wennington. He had the McWennington. Whatever it was called. He got a sandwich named after him. He's a backup center. He had a sandwich named after him. Imagine what you get as the coach of the most important team in town. So Ben Johnson, for instance, is in Detroit right now. Detroit is a Red Wings town. Then a Tigers town, then the Lions. Certainly the Lions are gaining greater priority now because they're winning. Remember, the Bears are always number one here. Chicago's a Bears town. Win or lose and lose and lose and lose. They've lost 10 in a row. They're going to lose 11. And they're the number one team in town. The Bears are going to lose Sunday, and their winning percentage will be worse than the White Sox, who set a major league record for losses in a season. Roll that around. Happy New Year to y'all. Bears are number one in this town. Then the Cubs, the Bulls, who cares after that? You offer Ben Johnson, the top team in town, with the top pick from last year's draft, providing he is functional after what the Bears have done to him this year and what the Packers may do to him Sunday. And you just throw out the Dicka plan. George McCaskey loves himself, all that history at Halas Hall. And even though you've run away from everyone like Ditka in the last 30 years, Ditka's your standard bearer. Ditka is the guy. He won. He coached the last championship team, last Bears championship team, and played on the last championship team before that. As Ditka famously said, I don't know where the line to apologize is, but I won't be in it. And the Bears don't want a guy like Ditka. Well, Ben Johnson isn't a guy like Ditka. So he'll probably appeal to them. But really, when you think about it, who else besides Ditka is a coaching or managing legend here? Phil Jackson? He's a nice part of the past. Same with Joel Quenneville, and he won three times with that depraved Hawks organization.
You have to put Joe Madden on there?
Joe Madden got a restaurant, then he got fired, then he got. Ozzie Guillen, still here, should be managing that team. Ozzie Guillen won, and Ozzie Guillen became a version of Ditka. He's the closest thing we have to Ditka in terms of personality. And it was entertaining, found a way to take pressure off his players. He was spectacular. He knew baseball.
He gives no craps.
Yes. Right. Get your craps ready. 10:25, in honor of the scorer's birthday tomorrow, we're going to do who you crapping. Get your craps ready. Remember, it must be something someone said, not something someone did. I think I have those ground rules right. But Ozzie Guillen was the closest, and he wanted the job again. And now the chairman's White Sox have acted like the Bears. We're going to go away from personality. We don't want that. We forced a La Russa down your throat. We want a bunch of guys who are benign. And now the Bears running away from Ditka or a big personality are about to have a winning percentage worse than the White Sox, who ran away from a big personality like Ozzie. And it looks like, for all that has been said about Ben Johnson and what he did, he was on several teams' radar 2 years ago. Last year, he had a pick of jobs, and he picked the Detroit Lions. He picked staying in Detroit as offensive coordinator as opposed to head coach. He picked an organization he trusted, ownership he knew, coaching he knew, players he knew. And Ben Johnson owns the scoreboard this year. I think it's 30 points. They scored more than 30 points in four straight games. Ever since he got mad that the Lions offense couldn't score late against the Bears in the second half, right? They didn't score in the second half.
Yeah, I saw this stat Sunday too. They've scored 40 plus points five times with no turnovers in a game.
So, that is your number one candidate, seemingly, for the Bears, because he doesn't have a big personality. But he's a guy who can be picky. I mean, the Bears aren't going to be the only team calling. He's a guy who will be picky. We've already seen that. A guy who chose not to take one of the 32 jobs in the NFL last year when he was offered several or would have been offered several. He's got a lot more discipline than the Bears roster does. Not any false starts with Ben Johnson. And Diana Rossini, I remember bringing this to the air on Saturday Suckage about 6 weeks ago. She said one thing he values is not just the roster, but strong ownership, trustworthy ownership. The Bears have one of the dumbest ownership groups around. And they got suckered again by a sanctimonious hustler as team president, the way George and Ted were suckered by Phil Emery coming in. So if Diana Rossini was, and I have no reason not to believe her, but you would look at the Bears, we know the Bears, you go, why? Why would Ben Johnson come here? He seemingly was too smart to come to Chicago. I would never hire a coach who would want to coach my team. There's your Bears Groucho reference. However, according to Tom Pelissero, NFL Network and Good Morning Football, he was talking about Ben Johnson and the Bears.
It doesn't have to be the perfect job, but he does want a place where he's got alignment and the opportunity to build something with sustainable success like they have in Detroit. The job that comes up more than any other is within the division. It is in with the Chicago Bears. I am told that Ben Johnson is intrigued by that job. And when it comes his time to interview, which the cadence of that is going to depend on whether or not the Lions have the bye, he is going to listen. He got a lot to like in Chicago with Caleb Williams, the raw talent there. They got a ton of cap space. They got extra draft picks. Big market. They're hoping to break ground on a new stadium in 2025. It's not to say that's the only job that Ben Johnson would consider, but right now, Peter, if you're asking me where does Ben Johnson end up if he takes a job, right now I would say your best bet is Chicago.
That is Tom Pelissero on Good Morning Football, the NFL Network. I want to also bring this because this is just wonderful. Mark Potash, a beloved guest here on, well, I guess this is New Year's Day Suckage, but normally Saturday Suckage. In today's First in 10 piece that he writes for the Sun-Times, a must-read, a wonderful, enjoyable, informative piece, one of the items is this. For what it's worth, Department, Johnson's agent is not Trace Armstrong. It's Richmond Flowers, who coached under Mike Shanahan with Washington and Jim Harbaugh with the 49ers. And O. You got your O. What would Jim Harbaugh tell his agent to tell Ben Johnson about Chicago? An organization he played for? An organization, sounds like he was interested in coaching, but refused to make a run at him. Even if he wasn't interested, you make a run at him. Let him tell you no. Let him tell you no publicly. Ben Johnson's agent is a guy who coached under Jim Harbaugh. Okay. Well, the Bears just find new, potentially comically stupid ways to not get their coach.
No, I haven't talked to Jim.
Brian, why is this
the coach of Michigan?
Yeah. Okay. Who'd want a Super Bowl coach in here? That's Ryan Poles. We assume he'll have a job next week. We don't know. We're going to take a break. When I come back, you know, the art of letter writing, this was a story so adorable, so wonderful. Nobody writes letters anymore. Well, the star of A League of Their Own didn't just write a letter. He typed it on what looked like a typewriter made during the era of filming for A League of Their Own. And it's spectacular. I'll bring you what Tom Hanks did after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Happy New Year.
That was Molly. He sounded choked up by the whole thing. All right. Welcome in. Welcome back. Happy New Year, January 1st, 2025. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I thought this was just wonderful. It kind of ended last year, but it was spectacular. If you're into celebrities' connection to sports, but this involves someone I used to work with, Scott Strazanti was a photographer with the Chicago Tribune. He's working in the Bay Area now, the San Francisco Chronicle. He won a Pulitzer here for his photographic work. 2008, he was part of an investigative reporting team. The Trib did a series about faulty government regulation of dangerously defective toys, cribs, and car seats. You can see some of his work in various Tribune publications. And now he has one coming out called Baseball's Last Dive Bar. It's about the end of the Athletics in Oakland Coliseum. So he sent out this tweet the other day, and it became a story that I needed to share with everybody because I enjoyed this. Quote, on a whim, this is Strazanti's tweet. I sent former Oakland Coliseum vendor and Academy Award-winning actor Tom Hanks a couple of prints and a request for him to consider writing the foreword for Baseball's Last Dive Bar photo book. I received this in the mail. It is perfect. What Scott Strazanti received in the mail was a beige sheet of paper. Remember the old newsprint you'd put in your typewriter? Parents, tell your kids. Typewriter is the thing before you had your phone. It was, you'd roll it through the platen, and then you'd hit the keys. The top of this piece of newsprint in red ink, it says Tom Hanks. And then it begins in black ink, on what looks to be done on a typewriter from the era of A League of Their Own. Scott, those images, the H in those is a strike over. the way we always did it with those typewriters. Those images and memories of the Oakland mausoleum, parentheses, remember that joke? Close parentheses. The word joke has a nine where the O should be. Were melancholy memories. He dropped the N in melancholy. The A's meant everything to Oakland for so many years, Tom Hanks continues in this letter. Joe Rudy, Reggie, Catfish, Campy, Sal Bando, Mudcat, that bastard Charlie Finley, Bash Brothers. Loving the Kelly Green and the poor design and engineering of that ballpark, the 1960s version of what other cities have as landmarks. Not Wrigley or Fenway, but nor Three Rivers or the Cleveland Municipal Lakefront Stadium and Bleep Candlestick. So Tom Hanks couldn't coach the Bears because he just typed an F-bomb. And there's no cursing allowed. Being a vendor there was a personal disaster for my 14-year-old senses. But have I forgotten a moment of those days? I worked the Vita Blue opening day, clearing maybe all of $12. Don't ever sell soda. Go for a dry good, peanuts, popcorn, and quit after the seventh inning stretch. And then in pen, it just says T and a swoosh after that. Tom Hanks took the time to type a letter to Scott Strazanti about Oakland Coliseum. He was a vendor there when he was 14, as we found out. And I think that is one of the best stories I've read, the best thing I saw this week. Because of the confluence, the nexus of sports and celebrity here, like we don't have real celebrities. We had two, Fat Oprah and Thin Oprah, and both left town. We don't have real celebrities. Athletes are celebrities. Michael Jordan was the biggest celebrity in the world. He was ours. He was here. But in this town, they're the celebrities, the athletes. Like it or not. Caleb Williams, you want to love this. I want to love this guy. I want to see him upright. I do not want to see him in a full body cast or an iron lung or rehabbing from an Achilles. Well, the Bears seem intent on doing that. Thank you for listening. I would love sharing stories like that. Now I have a question for you. Are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 59? Right here on The Score, this is your chance. We've brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 59 from Westwood One. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 19th. I would enter, I would urge my guys at Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan to enter. I would want them to have their commercial. I mean, when you have the world's greatest burnt ends, and me, I'm the world's greatest influencer on burnt ends, so I declared it such. But here's the thing. Big Ed's, I've told you about what a big heart Big Ed has. They hand out Thanksgiving dinners, hundreds. There's over 100 that they handed out full Thanksgiving to turkeys, but everything, turkey, mash, stuffing, greens, all that stuff. That's what they do. And they have other acts of kindnesses and generosity in a community. They have other acts of kindness towards their employees. I can't go there and get my burnt ends and tell them to make a commercial and enter. If you follow Big Ed's LLC on Instagram, they have professional videos done. Because there's a guy who loves Big Ed's Barbecue who runs a professional video company, and he comes in and shoots those things for Big Ed. But Big Ed gives his employees January off. That's when this contest runs. Now, I know Big Ed's lawyer, one of his lawyers, he says, is a Wake and Bake Club member. I went in there one time and he said, well, I don't hear. I told him your guy's here because he listens to the score. And he said, he's baking. He's not here. He's not coming down. He's not. I said, okay. So maybe Big Ed's lawyer is listening. Tell Big Ed to enter the scores commercial. And by the way, Ron Rivera should interview for the Bears job. And this should be called Super Bowl Chico 59. That was his number. Kids, ask your parents. Take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Bears-Packers, even if you don't want to. We're going to do it. Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Packers. Next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.